Episode 38, Rockstar Podcast. Today, Tony Mariano and Lorenzo discuss NDAs, RFPs, what's going on in the world of Drophouse, and getting photo credits at public events, private events, and when Lorenzo does advertising. That, and along with all the in-between stuff, and Mariano laughing behind me while I do this, we hope you enjoy the episode. See ya. Hello, and welcome to Rockstar Podcast.
Holy shit, that's loud.
38, in case people didn't hear. We have no guest because the guest, I called him, and he said, oh shit, is that today? And I said, yes. I'm assuming you will not be attending. And he said, I'm in New York right now. I said, all right.
Phone it in, baby.
No, I said, the highway's, there's no traffic right now. You're good. So this is the company that is going to discuss Alexa searches and skills and development. And for all you developer people wannabes who want to be in the next wave of money, you can learn about that. But not this week and not next week. Hello, Mariano. How are you? Why not next week, Mariano? What are we doing next week?
First of all, I'm fine. And next week, we have a in honor of the Take Your Kids to School Day.
Look what bulk Tony gets when he's doing this.
I'm trying to do quietly. I'm unzipping my sweater.
Go ahead. Okay.
So in honor of the Take Your Kids to School Day, which is, I think,
the 25th of April, because I have to drop off the child at Karen's office at 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Good Lord.
We're having my nephew and my children as guests
on
the podcast. And your daughter, she's coming too? Awesome.
I'm going to bring the cat.
You can bring the cat.
Are you going to bring up her, the little clip that you...
No, he's going to bring that up when she gets married.
Oh, yeah, that'll
gonna
be
epic.
Wow, we've just escalated this whole conversation.
Yeah, well, you know.
Hi, Tony.
It's been a couple weeks. Hi, Lorenzo. How are you?
Yeah, Lorenzo. It's been a couple
yes,
weeks.
Thank you.
We're in a very bougie...
I love this space right now.
We are in
it's a little bougie,
very modern,
but it's good.
I Colab, like it. NPZ event design, who does all the events at Bellworks.
Yeah, I'll take a picture in a little while.
Yeah, put it on, post it on there. Yeah. Nice and bougie.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mariana's
very excited.
So next week, yes, we're going to have all the kids in, and we're going to do an episode where we're going to talk about, and that's a choo-choo train every once in a while that you hear.
It
happens every 25 seconds. Okay, so we're going to talk about YouTube and what kids like with slime and all that other stuff. So that'll be
interesting. I have no idea what you're talking
about.
Well,
slime is actually the biggest activity
toy. Oh, my God. Like there
comparable to growing up with Star Wars, that large. It's a multi-hundred million dollar industry.
I believe you.
I mean, the amount of different kinds of slime, the amount of thought that goes into
slime, meaning you actually buy slime? Is that
buy.
No, create
yes,
it.
You have your chops. There you go.
Thank you.
You create
buy
it.
Buy and make. Well, yep. In Mariano's house, they make it with non-organic.
No.
That's great.
That's great.
Slime. Break.
And I don't know why, but I don't know why it's become so big, but the act of making it. Well, and the act of making it seems to be the thing that they like the most.
Okay.
Once they have it, they play with it for a little bit, but then it goes into a plastic bag and disappears.
If I can make a quick, whatever the word is that I'm thinking of, that I can't have. The act of making it is the worst thing in the world.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It is simply everything you can imagine. Slime with, what is it, like Dawn?
Glue and, yeah. And borax.
And liquids and children and just
and
all
food coloring.
Yeah, so I bought a $16 container of slime, unicorn colors, and it has lasted 2 months, and I've had no incidences or problems. It was the best $16 I've invested.
Okay.
That is a lot for you to take on there.
I have a cat.
Well, cats like...
I don't know anything about slime.
Cats can be slimy.
Oh, no. She's a priss.
Okay, not you. How is your cat?
Hashtag T2 Charlie.
How is your cat?
She's fantastic. She's such a little sweetheart pain in the ass.
How did you have a cat?
Oh,
I said, "How's your cat?" Not the, "How's your wife?"
Oh, wow. You don't want to dig her.
No, she's so much better than you that she knows.
Oh, she is so much better. She's a rock star. She's 3,000 miles away right now.
Where is she now?
She is in London currently.
That's our home away from
currently recording.
right? London and Brazil.
It is. Brazil, no, it used to be, yes. Not so much now, but yeah. And she was just outside the Notre Dame Cathedral on Friday, sadly. No. Yeah.
Well, at least you got to see it.
Again, yeah. And we experienced it last year, actually, just a little over a year. Yeah. What was the question? Oh, how is my cat? Yes. I don't know what happened there. Right. She's great.
Okay.
Thank you. This year, we will have had her... I lose track. 6 years, maybe? 6 years? Because we got her at 3.
Okay.
I think she's going to be 9. Yeah.
Did you have a cake?
Did I have? No, it's coming up next week, actually.
Are you going to have a cake?
Sure, why not?
No, for you or for the cat?
For me, of course. Oh, okay. I love cake. I try to keep it.
Are you a Game of Thrones fan?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Mariana?
I'm sure I would be if I watched it, but.
Okay, see,
I started it.
Saying that there's the 1% of the world that doesn't watch it, and I find more and more
that a lot of people don't watch 1%. It. It's just the people who really watch it are really passionate about it.
Do you watch it? Do you, you know?
I think I would love it, but yes. Quite honestly, after Sopranos and True Blood,
right.
Those were the last two, and then, right. then I got my man card, and I said, oh, I got to go to work, but I'm kidding. No, it would be something that I just don't... want to expose myself to because I think I would enjoy it. I love that type of stuff.
My wife and I started it, so we watched it for about maybe the first 3 seasons.
You're the 1%. The 1% that actually watched it and didn't like
it. We did watch it. Well, I can't say we didn't like it. First of all, it gets really confusing, especially with the lag in time. It's one thing if you binge watch it because you can literally connect the dots and the family and you forget who's who. And like honestly, like that stuff for me goes in one ear out the other. Because
you remember Jimmy Two-Face or whoever else in The Sopranos.
Well, we connected it a little bit differently, I think, especially being from New Jersey, you know.
True.
A lot of it was, shot in Jersey and whatever. But so we kind of lost track, so we felt like we were going through the motions of watching it. And then after a while, we just looked at each other and we're like, is Game of Thrones back? And like, I don't really care. So we dropped off probably about 4 seasons, whatever it is, I don't even know how many.
What are
seasons
you binging on, or as the term goes, or something that you're watching?
Yeah, so to be honest with you, yeah, like me personally, I don't watch a ton of like series and shows. I watch like a lot of the like news stuff, and political stuff. Yeah, I do enjoy and appreciate that. And believe it or not, a lot of that goes in one ear out the other. But that stuff is kind of like what I watch, and anything that we watch together. We're not really like, what's that? There's some Netflix stuff I really enjoy. I'm watching, I'm looking forward to with Handmaid's Tale. It's huge.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So are you guys into that?
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah. Hulu. That's Hulu. Okay. That's actually the reason we got Hulu, was just to watch it. And my wife actually started on that, and she's like, you have to watch it, and I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And I started, and I was absolutely hooked, and I can't wait till it comes back. So that's a big one.
That's a show I know that I would like and did want to see it, and I won't watch it because of I just don't want to get involved with it. So I don't know. Mad Men was actually the last one that I binged on. But then I watched right now.
There hasn't been anything in a while that I've actually binge watched. I mean,
cooking with hemp.
Game of Thrones definitely is something that I think I would like. I think I would
Jay
like.
Jay doesn't watch that.
Tale. No, Game of Thrones. No.
No.
Are you kidding me?
He's a little young for that.
He's 13.
He's going to be 13.
This is a lot of crazy shit on that show.
A lot of crazy shit. As the guardian in your family's because.
Well, obviously, your kid's cursing at 4.
So. Yeah. 5.5. But yeah. Did you listen to
it? And it was the F-bomb. I listened to it.
Did you enjoy the getting to know
that? I was going
to
bring that up. I feel like I know you so much better now. After knowing you for 10 years, apparently.
Exactly. And we hardly know each other. It's actually more about my skills as a Charlie Rose type interviewer.
You are so fantastic, Lorenzo. You know what I think you should do? Interview yourself. And we could just be the audience here.
I think we need to interview
you. No, I think he should like have 2 chairs and go back and forth.
Literally in the car with me, and you'll hear the interview of myself. Yes, so I eventually we're going to do a getting to know Tony.
Oh, great. Please, I'll prepare. I'll do my best to read up on me.
I did not prepare anything.
He probably just like grabbed you by surprise, I'm sure.
Yeah, in the middle of the episode, I just started talking about it. And the next thing I know, we're talking about Mariano at the point with his girl.
Yeah. It was quite in depth.
Yeah, at the what?
North Point?
North End.
Oh, my God.
I was waiting
for the South End to come up. I didn't know. I would just reinterpret
at
that.
At the North End, that's Paola. Hi, Paola. she runs this joint.
Okay.
Just so you know. So I was going to ask him, oh, when I was listening to the episode, I'm like, geez, I could have said like 10 more different things, like jokes wise.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't, because I'm like, I think Mariano's wife's going to listen to it. And sure enough, you confirmed that today.
Oh, she
that she did.
Did
she know that was on there, or she just happens to
listen? I told her. I think you'll enjoy this podcast. And she started listening to it, and she enjoyed it. And then she told me later, but I cringed a little bit because you told them so much about, you know, how we met and stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of info.
You exposed our relationship.
She should not listen to the part too, because I thought we only did the surface part. Of I didn't think we went deep into it at all.
Oh, no.
Tony and I will be on deck, and we'll do a getting to know.
I'm going to create a Google Doc with questions.
Oh, God. Okay. At least we can study for the test. That'd be great.
Well,
as opposed to you, you're
it's
kind
unfair
of blindsided.
Because I can ask Tony leading questions since I've known
You've
Tony.
You've known me for
in his formative years.
Yes.
As well. Whereas Mariano did not. So Mariano might have to sit down and really listen to this podcast with some of the answers.
Uh-huh.
Okay, back to Game of Thrones. What else? No, because I'm fascinated because everybody's going nuts about it. And I feel like I should watch it, but I'm not sure if I should. I feel like I should just wait. Is this the last season? I believe so.
That's what the big thing is. This is the last season that apparently ties everything together, and there are a lot of dragons. Finally.
I just want to do this so I can just hashtag the shit out of GOT on this episode.
Did you see the Jimmy Fallon interview with the actress who was on?
I'm
Game
very
of
busy.
Thrones?
I don't have time for this kind of stuff. No, I did not see it.
So he was interviewing her, and at a certain point, she slips up. And reveals that somebody is going to die in the show. I don't know who it is. And there's this huge awkward moment, and she covers her mouth, and they try to start up the interview again. They said, well, you know, Jimmy Fallon's like, we'll cut it out. And she said, but there are people in the audience that are going to tweet it. And he said, well, don't worry about it. We'll cut it out. So they go through this whole thing. They try to start up again, and she gets up very upset from the chair, and she just leaves the stage.
No shit.
And Jimmy Fallon is like, and he doesn't know what to do, and he gets up and he goes after her and goes behind the curtain, and they both come out and they go, April Fools.
Oh shit.
It was hilarious.
Well done.
I was going to say there had to be something because it's done at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so it wouldn't have went live if there was really
right. Right. Like but apparently, like, they're contractually obligated not to talk about the show. Sure. And
like I think they also get pieces of the script. They don't necessarily get the entire script.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Depending on, I've heard them do that with.
Please,
with
I get an NDA
well.
For somebody who wants to create T-shirts. I'm sure. I'm sure they deal with that. Now, in the episode from last week, we discussed a part where you created a Valiant, okay, with Scott. And what I wanted to know was, and I don't think I asked it, was do you remember like your first big client or your first client that really kind of made you feel?
We had a big client
this
already.
Is part two now.
Well, we had a big client already. We were working with Pfizer. We also worked with Prudential for the next client we got. We worked with Prudential for a while on a consulting basis.
Yeah.
But that was more. You know, Valiant really didn't start out as a web development shop. It was a little bit more consultation, staff augmentation on tech projects, that kind of thing. When our first big web project was the one that Sam came in on.
Okay, that
the
right.
Bake Me a Wish.
2010. Right.
That was 2009-ish. And then we just started building on projects from there. And when Sam came in, the first, like, real web project that we worked on was with Safeco, which is now part of Liberty Mutual. We developed
Liberty. Okay. It's the worst best jingle ever because I hear it 50,000 times.
And you can't forget it.
No, I can't. Well, it's only one word. What's going on with Drophouse?
How am I supposed to answer that? I'm not sure. I was just working on it yesterday.
Are you just a silent majority there? Or
with Drophouse?
Yeah.
Yes, it's me and the cat.
Okay.
Yes.
Does the cat take care of your calendar?
She takes all the pictures for Instagram. That's what she does. She's my marketing person.
Let's not talk about your Instagram posing photos. I just want to know, how many do you take before you act?
It depends if it's a good day.
Are you 16-year-old girl mode?
No.
Duck face?
No. You don't see me duck face. That's fucked up.
No.
That's so fucked up.
Well, I see some videos happening on YouTube.
Yeah, so I just uploaded another one yesterday. So that's the what I call the Behind the Mic series. So the hashtag is Drophouse VO, like Drophouse VoiceOver, BTM, Behind the Mic. So cool. Drophouse VOBTM. So what it's meant to do is basically, so as I have amassed, actually over the course of the last many, many months, and I have a lot more of those videos to be produced. So as I actually record the voiceover and create the branding for that particular project, I will actually also video record. So I video record in the vocal booth. Sometimes I give some side notes as to why I do certain things, you know, vocally, and why I do certain takes. And I talk about like some of the detail that actually goes into producing this audio branding so that people who are either considering me or branding in general, or actually obviously the client themselves, they get to see a little bit of what goes into their actual production. Mm-hmm. Kind of behind, it's meant to be behind the scenes, hence behind the mic. So eventually what I want to show, which I haven't created one yet, is actually show the production side. So not just the recording side inside the vocal booth and like vocal stuff, as in like voiceover and voiceover artists, but also the actual production. So some screen captures, why I do certain things, how I do certain things in terms of like timing, delay, effects, you know, it can get pretty nitty gritty. But if you're into the production side, then I'm hoping you will find it interesting. And if you're not, and you're just a client, at least you, or a potential client, you see the amount of time and attention that goes into like the nuance rather than Fiverr. As an example, or anybody else who just kind of like is. And
I actually have a question for you regarding that. Do you ever work on things like audio logos, like, you know, the one that comes to mind is Intel. You hear those, you know.
Yeah, I wish I were that creative. I thought about it years ago, potentially going into it. I just don't think I have. Personally speaking, I don't think that's my calling. Okay. So for me, it's a little bit more about voiceover and just production in general. Like that becomes sound design, so mm-hmm. to speak,
okay.
where you're literally like wrapping your head around, as Lorenzo would do a brand or a logo. You're wrapping your head around the brand mm-hmm. potentially. If you're doing, you know, web development for them, you could probably come at it from the same angle. You would have to wrap your head around the brand, what it is they're trying to accomplish, who they're trying to reach. And then you have to be, you know, pretty dialed into music, if mm-hmm. Sound at very least.
A little bit of luck doesn't hurt, too.
A little bit of luck to get the right client and to hit it, you know. And I probably would overcomplicate every project because something like that is so simple, right?
Right.
It sounds simple, but it probably took a lot to get there.
Well, it's the same visually with logo design.
Right.
I think it, you know, you could go to
Less could be more, right.
Or you could work with somebody who actually talks to you a lot about, okay, where is this design going to be placed?
Yeah.
Do you need is it going to ever show up on a billboard?
Those kinds of things are
definitely become, it seems simple in retrospect.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of work. Because
you're reverse engineering.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I would probably, my personality would probably go, it's not enough. It's not enough. You need more. And you need more effects. And you need this sound. And then the next day, I hate it. You know, so, like, it's not my thing.
That's like the design logo. Every client says, make the logo bigger. That's like the famous
quote. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Make the logo bigger. Have you either dealt with NDAs or RFPs? Non-disclosures and requests for proposal. You might deal with it a lot more.
Yes, yeah. I deal with it. I deal with it a lot. The NDAs and both from NDA and RFP perspective, and people that aren't sure, NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, RFPs are requests for proposal. Typically, a request for a proposal will be followed up by an NDA.
Do you sign NDAs?
Most of the time, we will.
Okay.
It depends on if we think the client's going to actually give us something that's really unique and mm-hmm. proprietary to them. You know, if it's a client that it's like, you know, solopreneur, I have an idea, and you know, it depends on the merit. Some people, you know, have gone so far as to create the NDA, but they don't really truly have a unique idea.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which is always great to have to tell somebody.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, we don't sign an NDA until we understand the scope of the project. And so
the RFP stuff, how do you go through that? Because a lot of them, or some of them, tend to be budget-driven and vague at times as well. I have a friend of mine who's going through this now for a large chunk of change, and you know, it's a little bit of a challenge because the project could have, the scope was a little bit vague.
Well, and I think in those cases, I think an RFP is interesting because the idea is they're trying to define what the business problem is. And they're trying to define what the business problem is and what they think the solution should be. A good proposal in response to an RFP is, here's what we think you're explaining to us,
right?
And here's what we think your best solution is. And it should start a discussion in the very end. Everybody receives their proposals. They feel out which company best represents what the business problem was. I don't really, unless budget is specifically mentioned as an important piece of the RFP, I don't really pay too much attention to whatever numbers they put up.
You usually end up with a number.
Yeah, we usually end up with a number, and sometimes we'll say like if the numbers.
I'm saying in the initial RFP, you do get a budget.
You'll get some kind of a budget typically, or a range, and we'll typically say, you know, based on your budget, this is what you can do. And sometimes we'll go so far as to say, but we think you're limiting with this. This is what you really could be doing. Sometimes the budget's very appropriate, and sometimes we're under budget. An RFP, I view an RFP more as just as a start of a conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you represent yourself well during the RFP process, you'll get into the next step, which is typically honing down exactly what the project is. Mm-hmm. And then you sign a statement of work. You know, the statement of work actually details, okay, this is what we're both agreeing to. Yeah. We understand that this is the budget, this is the timeline, this is how big the scope of the project is, and anything that comes up during the process that is out of scope we'll define as a phase two or something like that. So,
do you deal with stuff like that too, Lorenzo?
Or is that a little too formal for your structure?
I've had maybe 4 or 5 RFPs. NDAs, I've gotten a few offers, and I've always declined it because of the reasons Mariano says. It's usually, you know, unfortunately, they end up thinking, which I get it, but not being self-aware, they don't realize that their idea is either not original
or not worth.
So I had to do one for Jay Wow's wedding a couple years ago. Jay Wow from Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore, yeah.
I had to do that, and I had to do one for when I did a brand of the Shark Damon, an NDA. As far as the RFPs, I've had 2, maybe 4, and they're usually government. And in
that happens a lot in government.
Yeah, because right. Press is a little more formal.
I declined all 4 of them.
Yeah.
Mostly because a lot of them dealt with stuff that I probably wasn't proficient in. And I would have had to go through the subcontracting, and I just felt that like an agency could probably withstand any kind of differences in prices or costs that they needed, whereas I don't think I could have.
Mm-hmm.
I could have gotten a video company. I could have gotten, I forgot, well, it was primarily the video part of it, right? So because of the video part, I didn't really have a strong connection with anybody. Now I could do it with different connections. So I just declined it, but I also felt that the governments have to legally, I think it's 2 to 4, have to send out RFPs legally, and then you have to bid on them.
There has to be at least 3 bids for a government contract.
Right. So I felt like it was just they were trying to lowball me because the other 2 were probably agencies. So they were figuring that I come in on the third. And for all I knew, I was going to end up hiring the agency that they were
right
to do that. So I just did not feel comfortable doing. Plus, it was government, so I felt like there was going to be a lot of red tape, a lot of nonsense. I probably would need a few people with me to handle just the protocol.
Logistics.
It wasn't an individual company. In which case, those I would have had no problem with, but it's been all government-based so far.
If somebody's sending you an RFP, typically the it's coming from a committee, and the proposal that you send is going to be reviewed by a committee.
Right.
So it's not just a single decision maker typically. It's typically a larger company, typically a larger type of project. But you know, there are cases where we didn't, you know, we don't get RFPs. Even for large companies, they know what they want, and they know, you know, they know who they want to work with. But government specifically, RFPs are the norm. They're not the exception.
It's legally
Legally they're required to do it. Yeah,
because you have to justify
it. I did some work in my previous life as a consultant. I did some work for the Department of Transportation. So, you know, and the RFP for that.
I didn't get that in the last episode.
Well, his previous life.
This is before Revelion. So
yes, but we were okay.
So so there was an RFP process for that, and you know, actually I had to get security clearance and low level security.
Yeah, no, I understand. Right.
I'm not going to work for the FBI or anything with right, the, with like the security.
Ivanka Trump level.
Yeah. No.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
By association or bloodlines.
So,
sure, come on board. Yes, because in Tony's White House,
you don't want to bring up my White House.
Charlie would actually have full security clearance.
She would be my chief of staff,
and probably an improvement. You don't. You didn't really.
No,
you
that
wouldn't like back. No, Gemini and stuff. No, you wouldn't.
No, that stuff is a little too formal. When I was doing artist relations, like way back at for Gemini, which I was at one point, we used to have to like sign some stuff here and there, but it was mostly like contractual stuff. But my current world is you know, much less formal than that.
Yeah.
On the SE side, obviously, we have proposals that we sent out, but it's not nearly that formal. Obviously, it's a client relationship that's supposed to be a little bit more intimate.
Any NDAs with celebrity type stuff?
No.
No.
Perhaps. TV yes. Stuff. Yes. Yes. So TV. Yeah. Yes, there have been a few events that I've personally done where I've had to sign. First of all, you have to sign permission, you know, for broadcasting and things of that sort. If there's any chance that you're going to be on TV, actually, one was recent. Well, we actually shot. That was about a year ago now,
yeah.
But it aired, I want to say, maybe 2 months ago. It was on Say Yes to the Dress episode, and my bride was actually on there. And she was featured, and she was like one of the like features, because I've never watched that show before, but I did watch it that night.
Yes.
Just to see, I had about 3 seconds
okay.
on there. But yes, in those types of situations, you have to sign.
We had to sign for... which Mariano came to learn.
Oh, yes.
I forgot to mention.
Yeah, you mentioned the Impractical Jokers. I was on that episode as well.
He was on it too.
It was amazing. And I have it, actually. I have that digitally.
But I don't think you guys, I'm the only one who was actually on the show.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the shot the whole time.
I'm in the background. I'm that high shot.
I think I saw Tony.
I'm in that high shot.
Okay.
I am, because we're at the booth. And I got a picture with them too. It was great.
Yes.
So yes, we had to sign for that.
And it was fascinating to see the whole production of it.
It was cool.
They put the cameras in the roof, mm-hmm. or in the ceiling, I should say, and yeah, that whole...
So what's really interesting about that, and we were kind of prepared going in, so we host the show, right? It was a wedding show, basically, and they were pretending to be planners or something like that.
Right.
So in an effort to facilitate post-production, we were not allowed to play music loudly.
Oh, really?
Because it would come through.
Yeah, makes sense.
Would come through the mics and what have you, so they couldn't control that, and that becomes a copyright licensing issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So everything we played had to be, like, super, super low in the background. So it was actually kind of weird.
Lots of Sade.
And not even. Like, tell. It had to be, like, we played beats all night and stuff. Oh, like, it couldn't be something, like, big and well-known. So the vibe was actually really odd because nobody had any idea what was going on. Believe it or not, I booked a bride at that event, and she was on the show as well. I just saw her this weekend at a second wedding for
which
her
one?
Group.
I know that show really.
Lydiette. She's
no,
kinda,
which do you know what part or what skit?
Oh, I don't remember. I haven't watched it in a while.
Okay,
but she was definitely on there. It was very funny. That's I don't know nice. If they show her talk. I think they show her talking. American? She's Puerto Rican, I think she was.
Asked her, Murr says, didn't we have sex?
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah. I haven't seen the episode in quite some time.
Yeah,
years, actually, because that was 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Didn't I meet you at a mall or something? So I think if you go into YouTube and you type in Impractical Jokers and type in...
Wedding Expo.
Wedding Expo, event planners.
Yeah.
There's
There's a 3-minute clip.
It's epic. It's epic.
That's the one you sent me.
When it aired, I texted her because she hadn't gotten married yet, I believe, when that aired. It was hysterical.
So that actually brings up an interesting question. When you do events, mm-hmm. weddings, et cetera, mm-hmm. One of the things that I talked about when I was at my dental conference was photos. Like when you take a photo of a patient for HIPAA reasons, if you're going to use it in social media, you have to get a photo release.
Right.
Do you deal with photo releases at all at any of the events you do?
I would say only if they're, for lack of a better term, like high profile. Mm-hmm. Again, kind of the stuff that we were talking about. Most, I do ask, we do get permission from our my direct client, my couple, let's call them, right? If it's okay to shoot a video blog, if it's okay to shoot some pictures and use them. I have been asked not to do that either because most of the times it's because they're teachers, police officers, something along those lines where they just don't have a web presence or not a web presence, a social profile, or they just prefer it not be out there because they don't want to be found by a student or somebody else, whatever. So I've been asked not to do that. So that's as far as I go. I mean, if you want to get technical, I suppose every guest in there would have to sign a release, I suppose. Mm-hmm. We don't get that technical, and we've never had anyone, push back. Because we don't really highlight people, not all the time anyway.
It's occasionally actually, we do. From what I understand in my research for the CE session, you're not required to get a photo release if it's in a public venue.
Ah, okay.
And it's publicly, and they're just in the background.
Right.
Even if they're a focal point, if it's a public venue and they agree to take their photo with you
mm-hmm.
for social media, mm-hmm. you're okay.
It's almost like a blanket policy.
I just didn't know if you had instances like when you're going you take them aside and specifically take a photo of them. If you ever considered that stuff, but that's interesting that they've told that you've had instances where people
I have not to. Not often, but I would say a few a year would ask me not to post. Or some of them are concerned. All right, so the concern comes from a couple different areas, right? The concern could be primarily be like I mentioned, right? It could be the fact that their work. Could be government, whatever. They prefer just not to have their pictures out there, or they're super private, or what have you. And then,
CIA.
Yeah, right. And then the other concern, more often, and I will usually ask if they ask me not to, and I try to explore why. If they tell me it's because they're afraid of, being put in, or cast in a poor light, like if they have too many drinks or, they're having a little too much fun or, they're not quite themselves. I tell them, first of all,
to focus on them.
I tell them, first of all, I would never, ever make you look bad because that would
only
make me look
you
bad.
Can make yourself
look bad. Right, exactly. There are no dumb questions, only dumb
people. You start forest fire.
So sometimes they'll ask me, like, can we see anything that you post? And obviously it would be great. So
they want to filter.
Yeah, it is a little bit, but there aren't that many of them. I get it.
Yeah.
No. I try to understand.
You try.
And to be honest with you, getting back to Mariana's question, I would say 10 times out of 10 when people see themselves in one of those videos or even one of those pictures, they love it.
They
love it. They eat it up. They feel like a celebrity. They tag themselves. I mean, and I literally mean 10 out of 10. I've never had somebody come back and say, take down that picture, whatever. Not me personally, anyway.
I did use a client of mine that I did all her design work for her wedding, I politely fixed the photo from the photographer,
mm-hmm.
and I used that image on her thank you card, and I took that image and I used it in an ad, and he saw it, and he called me out on it,
okay.
And I told him, oh, I'm very sorry, I'll take it right down, and then I took it right down. And I just, that's the way I roll. I mean, I'm just thinking about it now. I got caught. I got caught, but I wasn't trying to do anything.
Right.
Because I had been, this was my first.
You happen to think it was a good photo.
But it was like my staple photo for my whole wedding thing. Right? Yeah. So I'm like, shit, if he sees all the other stuff. And then I'm like, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. And he was pissed about it. And then I went to his website and looked at other stuff. And I'm like,
you should be happy.
I'm probably helping you more than you realize.
Right.
But okay.
Well, so that's an interesting
Well, right. So
oh, he go
took
ahead.
The,
I'm sorry.
No, no. He took the picture.
Right.
I edited it. She gave it to me to use. I used it on her thank you cards. I've used it. It's probably my number one, like,
the dress picture? Point.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I've seen
it. Yeah, you dive every. If you've,
I think I know what you're talking yeah. about, is what I mean.
So I'm like, oh, all right. Then I, when I went to his website, okay.
Yeah.
So then I spent 3 seconds, went and got a stock image, and
sure.
That was it.
It's an interesting, I guess, situation, right? Because you didn't take the image to portray it as your own.
Right.
Because you're not a photographer.
Right,
right. Right.
That would be horrible. Yeah. And it happens a lot in our sure. industry, shit like that, right? So there's really no harm there other than... I could see maybe he wanted photo cred or something like
right,
that.
Right, if you go on the page for her wedding, he has photo credit.
Okay.
He doesn't anymore.
Okay.
Because I took it off.
Right.
Once he told me that. Because right. I guess I just am very, I've never been a big thing. And, you know, doing a lot of stuff for SCE in the past, I mean, I would see things, we would all see it a million times copied.
Oh, brazen.
Right. Now, I just never, it never bothered me. I never cared. It never. So when he said it to me, I'm just like, okay, bye. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't fight back. That was his decision, and that was
yeah,
it. But,
yeah.
like, now his photo doesn't get portrayed,
right.
which leads to my page that has the photo credit of him on
right,
it.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
He's got nothing. But to me, you know.
And this is the photographer that was upset with
this is
him.
The yeah. photographer who is, like, 4 to 5 layers removed from all of this.
Yeah, when you originally.
Old. The wedding is 9 years old.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So, whatever. It's fine. To me, I didn't care. If I was, like, exactly the way you portrayed it, if mm-hmm. I was a photographer, mm-hmm. 100% I get
yeah.
it. The DJs with the mixes or
yeah.
whatever, maybe,
yeah.
I get
yeah.
that. But there's certain things within a wedding, like as in 98% of it, that pretty much everybody does the same thing. And I mean that in the sense of you all do, not you, but there's cake cutting. There's certain stuff that is normal. It's that 2 to 4% that you can really stand out in. So if I was a photographer, yeah, I could understand it. But I'm
well,
like, dude,
but
I'm advertising for wedding SEO development and
yeah,
marketing,
yeah,
and
yeah.
it's going to your the page
yeah.
with your link.
If anything,
so wait, you had a link to his page for
no,
the
no,
credit.
No, I have a
photo.
Page for that wedding on
right.
my website.
Right.
When you go to that page, you see all the designs I made for her.
Right, right.
And it
including
a link to the
photo credit. Yeah.
That ad
well, then
was
that's,
taking it there.
If anything, room. He should have thanked you. Yeah.
He should have thanked.
Or you know, maybe at first he could have said, dude. What?
Yes.
What the heck?
Anything.
Right? And maybe you would have taken an extra few seconds
yeah.
to explain. Hey, I'm. It's a great shot. First of all.
By the way, I've been using it for 4 years, bro. It's everywhere.
Well, and I'm also giving you cred and a link at some point. Like,
I mean, the link. You know, those. Are, and I want to express this because
please.
This is important. You know, links from another website
are huge yeah.
in terms of
the
your
number one Google search.
Google,
yeah.
Google ranking
trustworthy
factor.
Inbound links.
It,
right.
it increases your trustworthiness. So, you know, for all the photographers out there, if someone in the design industry is using your photo and is actually linking to your website as a credit, you should not take that. That is, you are getting
that's
Google
gold.
Ranking gold without doing any work. So, I mean, that is more valuable to you than whatever the photo is worth.
Embrace that shit.
So, embrace it. You know, that's, I mean, that's, I mean, I it shocks me that he even said, I mean, I understand, hey, listen, I just noticed you're using my photo.
Yeah.
And then
he could have been, yeah, it could have caught, it could have been a moment, right?
Right.
Number one, like, oh shit, I can't, may not even know Lorenzo's
right.
work or what have you. That could be one side, but then, you know, take the time to explore or call out and say, hey, what's the deal?
Yeah.
He could have been ignorant to everything you just said. He could
right.
have been ignorant to...
Obviously he was. If he didn't,
right.
If he has
to
take it down.
Hey, I'm actually getting... I could potentially at least, let's say that, get traction from somebody
yes.
else by doing absolutely nothing. And,
well, and it's... It, right. That's it. It's not just the fact that Google is going to recognize that you're getting a link from an unrelated site
mm-hmm.
to your website, and that's going to increase visibility of your website.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also getting... Lorenzo has a lot of clients that come and check him
yeah,
out. You
course.
Know, and if they're looking for a photographer and they see your work there and they like it, they're going to be like, oh, I should go check out this site. I mean... I am sure there.
They would have went to the side and been like, "Oh, he had one shining moment. It was this photo." Like,
shit. I hope he's listening.
Yeah, no, son of a bitch.
Yeah, right. I'm looking for the email so I could say his name publicly, but I can't find it.
That's okay.
No, that's all right.
We don't need to give him any juice.
No, I liked it.
By the way, this podcast should teach you nothing else. Do not piss off Lorenzo.
I know I have the screaming lunatic name. I know that I'm a little bit loud, but I'm actually a very mild-mannered person.
For the most part.
Start a fight. Never. I just never walk away from one.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a...
It's down. A disrespect thing. I mean, you know, like...
Who you fucking think you are?
You talking to me?
You mean your photo? You're lucky it's on my ad. I go, what? On my ad. Anyway, I played soccer last week three times.
Oh.
That was a great segue.
Did you hurt yourself?
No. I hurt the other team. I flipped one guy. But anyway, last week I played two extra games because the team has asked me to play for them as well. So last week I had Sunday morning at 8 a.m. in Toms River. Then I had two Wednesday nights, two Thursday nights, and then a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Softball season is starting, so this is why I don't watch any of these.
You're like Lorenzo Ronaldo over here.
Mind you, I'm a goalie.
Pele for the old school.
I've settled down. I am now just Wednesday nights. You can come to the Capelli Sports Complex outdoors, 15 field or 8 fields, gorgeous in Edentown, Tenton Falls. You can come learn yourself a little soccer. Thursday nights as well.
Okay.
And Sunday mornings at various cities throughout the Monmouth, Ocean County,
New Jersey. My knee is killing me. Enjoy that.
I tough it out, but yeah. And softball season.
That's a lot of athleticism happening over there.
Well, you know, Mariano is on my softball team. Mm-hmm. He shows up
twice a year. Last year was horrible.
He wears short shorts and he hits two home runs.
Oh. All right. Well, he's like the field goal kicker, right?
That's before he gets on the field.
Oh, hey. I don't know what that means.
I double stack for you. My finger hurt because I think I broke it playing, but I didn't tell Karen.
Okay.
I just wanted to randomly tell everyone.
That was fantastic.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes.
I'll bring popcorn.
Well, I don't. And liquor. I don't have you. You post gym photos. You post hike photos.
Yeah.
People must think that I'm like, you know, like.
I don't think you. Yeah, move much.
Yeah, and
I'm so wrong.
Oh, I know, Lorenzo.
I'm so wrong.
Can we just health app it for a second, right live here? Let's just see.
Oh, yeah.
You have the health app on your phone?
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. I have a watch. Are you kidding?
Oh, both of you are all fancy.
No, I'm just saying, it logs everything.
I didn't realize this was happening.
So for the listeners, this is happening real time.
About?
Oh, I don't look at the steps, to be honest. I just look at my rings. Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so that's what I meant. So I'm just trying to say, this is without playing soccer, without having this phone on me while I'm playing soccer, I average about 9,200 steps per day.
Okay.
So that's four floors, which is 4.5 miles.
Wow.
Then you add soccer, and one soccer game is 10,000 steps.
Uh-huh.
So Wednesday, Thursdays, and Sundays, I'm doing 20,000 steps.
Fantastic.
That's
so
crazy.
This is my Instagram post of gym, of eating grilled chicken, of vegan, of all that stuff.
Okay, great.
Okay? So I just wanted that
I did 15,000 on Saturday.
Quiet now for a very long time. Mariana, your step number is 112.
I did 16,000 on Friday.
No, my step number.
I'm just going to keep talking.
That's on event day.
Right. Yes, not on Thursday. Right. Thursday was, I don't know, I was very active. 10,000, okay. 11,000 on Thursday.
Okay.
So I probably average, yes, 13,000 on Wednesday. That was a busy day.
Okay, see?
No, I'm very active. Yeah. I close all my mother effing rings.
I close my rings too.
My goal has been.
I close my rings? What does that mean?
Oh, if you have a watch, if you have an Apple Watch,
I don't
have a watch.
It measures your activity by rings.
Oh, this is where you
have
to
start. So we have to start sharing, Mariano.
Yes,
I
do actually
realize
that. The red circle is active calories.
So you have move goals,
and
exercise
then
goals.
The green one is an exercise goal.
Stand goals.
30 minutes a day, and the blue is a stand goal.
So for all the Apple Watch fans out there,
I'd be afraid to break it.
I've worn this. It's a very durable watch.
It is.
I mean, I've worn this. The only time I ever...
I'm taking shots at 30 miles an hour and going at my wrist. It's not going to be durable. Mm.
The only time I wrecked this last summer was I was in a pool and I accidentally... I think Gemma was falling or something. And I reached out to grab her and I knocked it hard on the concrete. And it only cracked slightly on the bottom, but enough that water got in. So I had to get it replaced. But other than that,
Yeah.
Is it based on wrist motion?
No, it's not.
I'm just trying to wonder how you got your 10,000 steps, Tony. Mazel tov, my man.
I do a lot of dishes.
Wax on, wax off, dude.
No, it actually uses your GPS. It's a little, it's more accurate than
same as the phone.
Or my original Fitbit. I don't know. They've probably gotten better since, but it uses a little bit of GPS.
Okay.
Yeah, and it is motion based, but it's kind of secretive what they do.
Yeah.
It's like you can't sit here and just wave your hand.
Right.
Yeah.
It's I think based on impact. I think the accelerometer feels as you're walking.
It also measures your heart rate.
And so it checks it against your heart rate.
Yeah. If your heart rate is not up, then it's not going to measure as activity.
Yeah.
Can I check my cholesterol because I'm due up for my check?
Mine just came back. It's fantastic. Okay. Well, and I have a lot of eggs.
Oh yes. Okay.
Just check my Instagram.
Okay. I put out a post from the other podcast. By the way, thebellcast.com, feel free to listen to me more if you want. and you can watch the full videos of the...
Oh, fantastic. Yes. You guys are so exciting.
I'm no, sure. Those guys do the video. They come in with cameras.
It's fancy.
I'm pretty relaxed during those podcasts.
Yeah.
Really. You ever see the Seinfeld episode where Elaine finds a new George, a new Kramer, and a new Jerry?
Oh, yes. I've seen that.
There's an episode where she finds three guys. Three,
okay.
And they're three exactly replacements. Them, and they end up meeting in the street.
Okay.
Like, that's going to be my bizarre world.
when we meet them? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Except we're nothing alike?
Well, here's where you're not alike. And they know this because I'm like, they are way too millennial. They deal way too much worrying about, like, I remember when I was talking to Mike and Kevin, we're talking, it's called the Bellcast. They do it from Bellworks here. It's about, we interview all the businesses within Bellworks. And they were talking about doing cameras and stuff like that. And at one point, one of the guys said, you know, we should get lighting and stuff. And I'm like, what? Lighting? You get, like, whatever you want. So they're a little bit less...
They're a little more formal.
Low key.
Yeah, I'm teaching. I'm bringing them along. Yeah,
I can understand that. I have to say the show sounds so much better now.
With the audio?
Yes.
Well, no. It does not sound... It sounded great until I took over. Then it sounded like shit, and then I got...
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Well, I'm only comparing it to the... let's call this the second iteration.
You're like BC Tony, or AD Tony.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. BT, AT.
Yeah. Okay. You know, at some point we should talk about...
It's so much better.
Talk about, for people wanting to do a podcast,
mm-hmm.
like what your recommendations
are. Oh, that'd be great.
We're going on a trip, Mariana.
Yeah. We have to, Lorenzo and I have talked about this.
We're going to Tony's house.
We're going to Tony's
house. He's
going to
film some stuff.
You're coming to the studio.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little coordination, but yes.
We'll have to actually work today.
Yeah, yes.
It'll have to be mid-May or something.
Maybe we should bring all the kids to Tony's house next.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm closed that day.
Okay.
So I'm toying with the idea of actually coming to the kids episode. So I'll have to see what my schedule is like.
Yes.
Just be aware that I am not kid-friendly. So I will probably cower in the corner until I have to scream a profanity.
I don't think you'll have to scream a profanity. I'm going to drop it off with, welcome to the fucking Rockstar Podcast.
I think you'll like it.
Do you remember we talked about it? This is an episode that we had to censor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So,
I remember.
We will be there. So because of that, I'm going to permit his son, Jay, to just drop all the episodes.
Oh, you're giving his kid permission to curse in front of him after he said that Jay does not curse in front of him? Right. Say, I listen.
No. Not, he alluded a little bit that he thinks that Jay is not someone who curses in general.
Right, but he probably does. He admits that, but it doesn't.
No.
Listen, I never cursed in front of my parents, ever.
Right.
And to be honest with you, I didn't, believe it or not, even as a kid, I didn't curse.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I made up for that. In later years.
I was definitely a rule follower, and, I see Jay being that way, too.
So I never, even being around, like, other kids and whatever, as I got a little bit older in high school and stuff, I did, but not to the extent that I do today.
Socially acceptable now, too.
Yeah, I think it is. And you got to understand, too, so my folks, old school immigrants, they never cursed in any language around me.
Right.
Right.
So that was instilled in me from obviously a very young age from and I grew up around that, and I just thought it was wrong, so I never did it, and it was never part of my vernacular, and now I can barely get through three sentences without dropping something.
But whereas Mariano stays, he doesn't curse often, which is why as a public notice PSA, you should all worry about that, because it's the people who don't drink or don't curse.
They're the ones you have to worry about.
The ones that you have to watch a little.
Be very scared. That's the. I can't believe we're in the same room, to be honest.
Well, I think I could go. I have cut out my beef intake.
I don't eat a lot of beef. I do eat meat, though. I eat a lot of chicken.
Yeah.
And pork.
Yeah. Okay.
And turkey.
Do you miss it?
Not at all.
You don't miss a big old wiener in your.
Sorry.
Or a burger. There's a lot of different things. A wiener, a burger.
No, I will tell you.
We're heading to the north end soon.
The north end.
We're going to end up marrying Mariano, I guess.
Out there.
I hear church bells.
That are fantastic. The Beyond Burger and the Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
Those veggie-based?
Those are completely veggie-based.
I've heard, actually.
Absolutely delicious. As a matter of fact, the Impossible Burger, Burger King is now selling the Impossible Burger.
Huh.
Of course, they put cheese on it, so it's really like, what's the point? But I've had the Impossible Burger now multiple times. You can only get it in restaurants. I don't think you can get it at a store, mm-hmm. but it's delicious. Mm-hmm. And the Beyond Burger you can get at like Whole Foods, and I saw it at ShopRite the other day too. And so it looks like a real meat patty. And my father-in-law, who's a big meat eater, I gave him one day, and he's like, I cannot tell the difference.
Wow.
They even put like beet juice in it to make it look a little bloody.
Right.
So, I mean, that's like the one thing that I like is a good burger.
Yeah.
And those satisfy my craving enough that I don't need the meat.
Okay. He doesn't like a good wiener though. He's okay with that.
I've never been a big
I have hot like dog two guy. A year ever.
Even when I
I'm not a big hot dog guy. Either.
It just does things to my stomach that just no.
Yeah, no, I stay away from them.
Good talk.
Yeah, good time.
4th of July is coming. You got to have a hot dog on 4th of July.
Do you?
Yeah. You really don't.
But you could.
A burger. I'd have a burger.
I would have a burger. I love burgers.
Boy, the meta descriptions that I would make for this podcast would be all be kinds careful. Of people. Episode 38. It's in the can. Right. By the way, listen to the last episode at the very end bonus clip.
Yeah.
You will laugh. Your ASS.
Mariano's Sanford and Son style laugh at the very end was hysterical for me. But,
Yeah.
Take care. Bye. See you next week.
Bye.